Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go. It's hour two. It's a Monday. It's absolutely great to be here live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and right here on FS1. Had a great time watching football yesterday. Really did. I didn't know how good the games were going to be. But you get to the end of that late window, and you had Denver Chargers with tight, and Seattle Russell Wilson's making plays. And then you had the Bears and the Saints coming down to overtime. And it's just one of those, that late window yesterday, I looked at it and I thought, well, Seattle, San Francisco will be good. All the games were really, really good. Denver with a wild comeback W. I still don't know what to make of Drew Lock. It's funny, Joy Taylor's joining me. He's obviously, when he has time to throw, he's got a really nice arm.
Yeah.
But he's not, I mean, when you start looking at Mahomes, Justin Herbert and Derek Carr, he's not as talented as Mahomes. He's not as big and strong with the arm of Herbert. And he's not as accurate a thrower of the football as Derek Carr. So I can like Drew Lock. And I can say there's talent there. You cannot have the fourth best quarterback in your division in this league. You can't.
No.
You're asking your coaching staff and your defense to have to carry you. So I watch Drew Lock and I like him, but I'm like, he's the fourth best quarterback in this division.
He's not consistent enough
yet. And when he doesn't have time to step into it, that ball just...
He's got something, though. He's got a little swag to him.
Oh, he does.
And the Chargers are going to do what the Chargers do.
Always.
Always.
In all cases. Anthony Lynn's got a little heat on him now.
I mean, they find new ways. They're like the Falcons, but just not as dramatic.
Falcons, Pacific time zone.
Yeah.
That's what they are. All right, Colin wrong on a Monday. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Back-to-back winning weeks in Blazing Five. I've had a couple of 4-1 weeks. This week, I got the Colts, the Dolphins, the Broncos, and the Seahawks all delivered. On the year, I'm one game under 500. I saw the lines for next week. They're already very tasty. Some really good lines so far. So very good back-to-back winning weeks for us. We're almost there at 500. Here we go.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, I love my Ravens. I had them at 16-0 and 15-1, and I'll be honest with you, they're just off. Their defense is good, but it's not quite as good as I thought. And their offense, yesterday they ran for 265 yards, and their passing game has not elevated. They're 5-2. Too many mistakes. Lamar is struggling, throwing the ball outside. Pittsburgh is what I thought Baltimore would be. I really thought they would sort of steamroll. They brought everybody back. They made nice additions, and they just aren't quite right yet.
Where Colin was right.
Reported yesterday morning, the reason the Dolphins played Tua and took out Ryan Fitzpatrick, the reason was we were on this for a month. They have Houston's first round pick. Translation, if Tua doesn't work, they want to see it because they could be a top five pick and they could go get another quarterback. So this is what we've said. Quarterback now, you do not get 2 or 3 years. Dwayne Haskins got 8 games. Josh Rosen got 7 games. Miami wants to see what they have in this division. After 8 games, if they see the it, he's in. If they don't, he's gone. That was reported yesterday by Adam Schefter. They played him because they're going to go get another quarterback if he's not the guy.
Where Colin was wrong.
I'm going to have to eliminate the LA Rams from my Super Bowl bubble. No good team in this league implodes more often and faster than the Rams. What was that second quarter? I like Jared Goff. I've seen him win shootouts with Patrick Mahomes. But man, if you don't protect him, he needs to learn how to take a sack. He'll throw a ball knowing he's going to get smoked. It's like, dude, cover up, do a Brady, roll down to the turf. They have too good of a coaching staff to implode. And what's funny is they'll play a great 3 quarters. They'll do everything right, but they'll have a quarter or a half. They don't even look like they practiced. I don't think you can win a Super Bowl or be in the bubble and this inconsistent.
Where Colin was right.
Odell Beckham Jr. never connected with Baker Mayfield. That, according to Ian Rappaport. There's a real possibility he's played his final games with the Browns, Rappaport reported Sunday morning. According to him, Beckham's never fully embraced Cleveland, never had a good rapport with Baker Mayfield. They may play better without him. For the record, somebody in Odell Beckham's social circle told me this summer, Baker and OBJ, they just don't really connect. It's just not nobody to blame, not taking shots at anybody. It's not really good.
Where Colin was wrong.
Jimmy Garoppolo is falling into an issue where you take him out and sometimes Nick Mullins looks better. He's got a consistency issue. Yesterday he struggled. I'm told it's the ankle. They put Nick Mullins in. Oh, three scoring drives. Listen, we saw this last year, and I defended Garoppolo. Last year, Kyle Shanahan started taking the ball out of his hands on third downs. It's like, no, that's not good. I kept saying, I can't argue. I like Garoppolo, but I can't win that argument. You will always have that argument over me. When the coach, who's really smart on offense, takes the ball out of his quarterback's hands, okay, you win that argument. I can't argue that. And they're doing it now, and you put Mullins in, and Mullins is up and down the field. That ain't good.
Where Colin was right.
Even when they were 1-4-1, I said the Eagles are going to win this division because if you give me the best coach, the GM, and the best quarterback in a division, I'm going to win it. And I don't care if they're 1-4-1, they're going to win it. And this morning, what do you know? They're getting healthier. Lane Johnson's coming back. Miles Sanders coming back. Zach Ertz will eventually come back in a few weeks. This is classic Carson Wentz. Listen, last 12 games, 7-4-1. None are pretty. But we've got to be fair here. What is he working with? Catastrophic injuries at running back, tight end, wide receiver, offensive line last 12 games. He's won 7. Judge people in crisis. What are people in crisis? Not when everything's great. This kid's played in crisis for the last 12 games and he's won 7. And by the way, the losses, you know, he loses to Pittsburgh. He loses to Baltimore. He's not going out there and getting rolled by the Jags. So let's give him some credit here. But when they were bad, I said, if you give me the best GM, coach, quarterback, you will win the division, and they're doing it.
Where Colin was wrong.
You know what? I like Jim Harbaugh more than everybody else. And this is not good enough. You can't lose as a 20-point favorite to Michigan State. You can't. I can't argue. You're not going to get fired. But you know what's funny about Harbaugh? As much as I like him, why can't they get the quarterback right? You were an NFL quarterback. Like, he got it right at Stanford. He got it right when he was at San Diego. In San Francisco, he won with Kaepernick. They can't get the quarterback. They're not special at quarterback. They're just not getting it right there. And frankly, week to week, I mean, one week they look great. The next week they're awful. And I've always said what makes great coaching, and coaching is really hard, but what makes great coaching is not just wins and losses. Do I get the same football team every week? And with Harbaugh, you do not. Sometimes you get a highly effective, highly emotional, highly physical team. And then they were just flat. They just weren't ready to play. And, you know, we all have bad weeks and bad shows and bad games. But so far, he's better than Brady Hoke, but he has not been as consistently good. And no more excuses, by the way. These are all his players now. These are not anybody else's players. This is his staff, his coaches, his players. You can't lose that game. Mel Tucker, none of those aren't even, he's playing with somebody else's guys. You got to be able to beat Michigan State. And Mel Tucker's playing with somebody else's players. Bad.
Where Colin was right.
Russell Wilson's on pace to throw for 59 touchdown passes, which would be an NFL record. I've been on this for years. I think he's the world's best football player. Mahomes has the best quarterback talent I've ever seen. I think Russell's the world's best football player. Pre-snap, post-snap, leadership, elevating others. He didn't have any of his top three running backs. I mean, I got to be honest with you. San Francisco the last 2 weeks has crushed New England, has crushed the Rams. And Russell Wilson, first of all, it's like Steph Curry. Pump fakes, crossovers. Everybody's always off balance. Every defender is never gets a good shot at him. You're always just, is he running? Is he throwing? Is he sliding? You can't get it. Nobody gets a shot. He's been in the league, 8 years? Has anybody gotten a good hit on him? Ever? Once? Seriously, once a clean shot on him? I think he's the best football player in the world. I really do. I think Mahomes is the best quarterback talent I've ever seen in the last decade. There you go. Colin right, Colin wrong. Good stuff. What to make of Green Bay? Yeah. It's yesterday I watched Green Bay and I'm like, I always have an opinion on Green Bay. I almost went to Twitter yesterday and just say, hey, you tell me what you are. Because I can tell you what I think the Packers are, but what does Green Bay think they are? And you and I were talking about this. I think we all know what Green Bay is. They're a front runner. They're a good finesse team. When they were comfortable against Houston, no pass rush. They're great. Green Bay is the convertible sports car of automobiles. God, they're great in the summer and great in the early fall. But you got to get the SUV out in the off-road vehicle for November, December, and January, February, March. And that's just not who they are. By the way, nothing looks cooler in the summer and early fall. Nothing looks. You ever seen a guy or a couple, a woman in a convertible sports car in the summer and fall? I mean, you don't know what they do for a living. Oh, they're billionaires. Nothing looks cooler in the summer and fall than a sports car convertible. That is Green Bay. When they're on, Aaron Rodgers is the coolest guy in the world. But boy, the minute you get hail, slush, you got to get the SUV and park the sports car. And that's what Green Bay is.
Yeah.
They can play one way. They play when it's comfortable. And by the way, they're still going to win 12 games this year. I went and looked at their schedule this morning. They're going to win 12 games. But Minnesota basically said, yeah, we're going to run at you for 3.5 hours. Stop us. They couldn't.
Yeah, I mean, I loved them last year, and yeah. They clearly did nothing to address their issues from last year.
Yeah.
Because I still think they're a great football team, that's not a game you should lose.
Yeah. It's just, they're like a boxer that has to have,
the perfect matchup.
Yeah, they're not going to be able to fight this guy or that, but if you give them the right kind of fighter, the great ones, the Evander Holyfields and the Sugar Ray Leonards, you could give them a brawler, you could get them the guy, the dancer, the brawler, they could win all the fights. Green Bay's got to fight one way, and when they do, nobody looks better. They look great in August 15th, driving to the shore, convertible sports car. Hail, storm clouds, put it away, baby, because they can't compete. Coming up next, Trent Dilfer is going to stop by.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
This weekend, Pac-12 football returns as Arizona State takes on USC in the big noon Saturday game of the week on Fox. Or over on FS1, Big Ten heavyweight Michigan battles Indiana. Both those games are Saturday at noon Eastern on Fox and FS1, and as always, streaming live on the Fox Sports app.
Uh-oh, watch out for Indiana. By the way, Harbaugh's not as good in college as I thought. Herm Edwards has surprised me. I didn't know if Herm could do it. Remember the first press conference? He wasn't sure he knew the nickname of the team. I live out here in the West. They're recruiting. Arizona State's tough. They may beat USC. Herm Edwards, I always felt Gruden was a guy that could go to college. You know, he's got the big charisma, he could recruit. Herm Edwards has been a pleasant surprise. Arizona State's a real football team. He's an excellent defensive coach. And they've got a kid named Jaden Daniels, a quarterback, if you watch this weekend. Dude can play. Kid can spin it. He's a fantastic young player. Needs to put on some weight, but he's really good. Trent Dilfer, weight was never an issue. And I mean that lovingly. Decade and a half in the NFL, Pro Bowls, Super Bowls. My friend Trent Dilfer, by the way, head football coach, Lipscomb Academy in Nashville, Tennessee, won 21-7 Friday. They have swept their region in the final regular season game, and he is now joining us live. So in the NFL, there's a, and I meant that lovingly, weight's not an issue. You always had the pudding. You always had a little bit.
Thanks, brother.
There are things in the NFL you can correct. You can coach them up. There's a trading deadline. That happens all the time. Your football team, there's things you can get better at. The one thing you look at and you're like, I don't know, it's hard to take a team that doesn't love physicality and in 4 months say, be physical. And I watched Green Bay and Minnesota said, we're not even going to spread it around. We're going to give it to Delvin Cook 35 times. Stop us. And Trent, they can't again. And I know Green Bay is good. They're going to win 12 games. But can you take a team that feels very much like a finesse football team, can you change that in the next 3 months?
Not to a significant level. I think they definitely lack some discipline and some physicality at the linebacker position especially. You see the linebackers getting lost a lot. Some of this might be they're just confused. They're not sure on the run fits. When you're not sure, when your mind's cluttered, your body's going to be slower and less physical. But I think you nailed it. Green Bay, to finish the race, okay, they're going to win a lot of games. They're going to get in the playoffs. They're going to be a big seed because they're so talented offensively, especially with Aaron Rodgers. But to finish the race, you have to be ultra physical. You have to play fast all the time. You have to make a statement with your defense. and how they attack ball carriers, receivers, attack the ball itself. You don't see that from this Green Bay Packers defense. I think they can make fixes, but can they fix that issue in a short amount of time? I don't think so.
So let's look at Seattle, where I see a football team that actually lacks something, but I think they can solve it. Jamal Adams is a highly physical safety. Carlos Dunlap's always been sort of long and athletic on the edge. And I look at them. They've also got a couple of young starters, and I think Pete's always been a really good teacher. And I look at Seattle, and I'm like, I could see them becoming like the 15th best defense in the NFL. Not great, but good enough. I mean, I'm kind of amazed. They're a personal foul penalty from 7-0. They got no running backs, no pass rush. Jamal Adams isn't playing. I think Seattle's actually got more upside. That's what I see when I watch them play. Your thoughts?
I agree completely. And I look at Kansas City last year at this point of the season wasn't a very good defense. We said some of the same things we're saying about Seattle, about Kansas City's defense at this point last year. And by the end of the year, they were playing great defense and carried over to this season. I think the Seahawks, they're never going to be a great defense this year. But you add Jamal Adams back, you get Carlos Dunlap, like you're saying, playing that pass rushing long, disruptive defensive end. And a lot of these guys that are making mistakes are also getting better. And I think you said the most important pieces of this in that comment was that you have Pete Carroll teaching you. I think the one thing the Seahawks don't lack is physicality. They're a physical, tough group. They lack pass rush. They lack disruption. I think you're going to add some pieces that will allow them to disrupt more, but also they have one of the greatest defensive coaches that's ever walked the planet that's going to continue to get them better as the year goes on. And you marry that with the arguably the most dynamic offense in all of football and the, you know, the front runner for the MVP and Russell Wilson, they're most likely going to play at the lead a lot also. So, and a very good special teams team. So complimentary when you start mixing it all together. I'm with you. I could see the Seahawks being good enough on defense, being excellent on special teams, and being phenomenal on offense. I think that is a recipe by playoff time that can get you cooking and get you all the way to the finish line.
Okay, Lamar's hit a wall. That's what the league does. I always think about this in the NBA. LeBron's an exception, but like when Kobe comes into the NBA, you watch him for a couple years. Okay, force him left. And the great ones break through your game plan to stop them. That's what Mahomes, like, oh, put a zone up. And that works for about 3 weeks against Mahomes, and he figures out that. Like, Lamar's hit a wall. Can he break through it?
I think he can. I still think Lamar's one of the most dynamic players in the NFL. And he does strike fear in the heart of his opponents. I know what Mike Tomlin said yesterday about they don't fear anybody, and I respect that, but he strikes fear into everybody they play because he's so dynamic, he can turn any play into a home run. The issue I see is this, and I think you nailed it also earlier on the show, third down is the area that he has to devote the most attention to and the staff has to devote the most attention to for his growth. So saying he gets better at third down, which I think he will with more work, the thing you don't have to do with Lamar is try to make him something he's not on first and second down. What happened yesterday was they started doing drop back pass on early downs in the red zone when they're running the ball at will against the Pittsburgh Steelers and play action would be much more successful. He's a guy that you should never call pass play outside of third down that there isn't a run threat as part of that pass play because that is what freaks defenses out and that's what gives him the defined looks and doesn't allow you to play him traditionally. And what I'm seeing in Baltimore here a couple games is they're trying to call NFL drop back passes on first and second down. I'm sure he can function a high level in practice of those, but why put that stress on him? Why not strike fear into the heart of the defense with the run action component of it and make his job a little easier on first and second down? Then, as you talked about earlier in your show, devote a ton of resources, a ton of time, a ton of training into the third down part of the game so that he can get better at that piece. I think Lamar is going to get better. The one thing he's proven from his time at Louisville to now is that he is like Kobe Bryant. Like you said, he'll address whatever he's deficient at, and he will go on to correct it. I'm not giving up on Lamar Jackson. I still think he's a fantastic football player.
Okay, so I had an epiphany last week, and I say, I don't mind being wrong. I've been wrong a lot, but I'm never going to hide information. And I was driving to work, and I thought a lot about this, and I'd watched Burrow and Herbert and Lamar and Josh Allen, and what is working? There is some dynamic, special physical talent. Baker's struggling. There really isn't. And I thought with Tua, I said, God, 28 of the 30 best quarterbacks I've ever watched play were either big men, physical big men, or if they're not Fran Tarkin and Russell Wilson, you can't catch them. Kyler Murray's got some of this. Like, okay, that's ridiculous. And then I looked at Tua and I thought, he's not big, and he's not real mobile, so he has to be Drew Brees. Well, good Lord. That's a very difficult – if that is your one small, not a big arm, not real mobile. And I said last week, I said, I have this fear. I'm just not going to see any it. And I watched yesterday, and I know he's smart. I know he works hard. But what's the it with Tua? What do I go, whoa, that's dynamic. What is it? Because I don't see it.
I think you'll see it. I think it's one. It's one game, a game where their defense dominated. They didn't need to do much offensively. It was more one of those manage the game, get out of the game with a win. Once I think they got 28-7 in the third, and it was really kind of okay. We'll throw it when we have to, but let's finish this thing. I know just because I've been around Tua so much, he has the itch. The itch is the combination of horsepower and twitch that he has. You can't put mobility on it. He's got small area quickness along with power that very few have. What will come out in the rest of the year as he plays is the wow factor with that combination of power twitch. He will do things off platform in the pocket. He will extend plays, and he will pierce the ball downfield like very few can. You're talking about, in my opinion, one of the all-time great accurate deep ball throwers. And people say, well, look who he's throwing to at Alabama. Okay, go back and watch a lot of those deep throws. They're not always to wide open receivers. He threw a lot of those guys open. Tua also has incredible vision. I've been around very few young players that see the field boundary to boundary. Most of them see the field in halves. He sees it sideline to sideline. So, again, time will tell. I do think he'll take his lumps this year like most young quarterbacks do. By the way, Joe Burrow's taking some lumps too. Yeah. I'm blown away by him and Herbert, but they're still making some mistakes, yeah, as will Tua. But it will come out rather quickly. We'll do this show in January, and we'll revisit the Tua thing, and I'm pretty confident that you'll go, okay, now I see the it.
Finally, Trent Dilfer joining us, 15 years in the NFL, his team Lipscomb Academy in Nashville, 21-7 Friday. We talk about this. Sometimes, I said yesterday, I'm not going to crush Baker or defend Derek Carr. I felt Gruden won the game. I thought he had a great coaching Sunday. Now, as a coach, we all have egos. Like I'm sure you've had a game where you thought, boy, we got these guys. We really got them. But I watched that thing yesterday, and I got to be honest with you. Gruden, Raiders are a tough out. They beat Breeze. They beat Mahomes. What do you make of Gruden, the person? You know him pretty well, the innovator. What do you think we're talking about in 5 years with Gruden?
I've never been more impressed with John Gruden than I am right now, and he was a very good coach for a long time in the NFL. I think his time away allowed him to take a big, deep breath, relook at football and how you win football games consistently. And if you go back and listen to his telecast on Monday Night Football, anytime the Patriots play, everybody pays homage to Bill Belichick. He did it differently. He would always try to explain all the different ways Bill would find to win games despite fluid circumstances. And that's what I'm seeing with John Gruden, is he's looking to win the game however he can win it that day. It doesn't have to look a certain way. It doesn't have to get certain guys the ball. The stat pages don't have to say anything special. It's, okay, there's a lot of ways to win football games, and we're going to prepare our team every week to win them a bunch of different ways, and because we don't know which way it's going to be this week. His ego's out of it. You're not seeing a ton of John Gruden interviews. You're not hearing a lot about him. They're just going about their business. He's definitely instilled a toughness in them and a grit in that team that they haven't had for years.
Yeah.
I've been really, really impressed with how him and Mayock have put this team together, but especially how John's coached it this year.
All right. Congrats on the win Friday. You guys play a playoff game coming up?
We do have our first round. Yep. We've won 8 in a row, but that doesn't matter unless we win this one.
Good luck to you, Trent. Thank you.
Thanks, brother.
By the weather can be unpredictable, as we have said. Michelin Endurance XD silicone wiper blades, they last 2 times longer than all the other blades on the market. They are available only at Walmart. Here is Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the 49ers added more names to their long list of injuries in the 37-27 loss to the Seahawks yesterday. Jimmy Garoppolo left in the fourth quarter with an ankle injury, and George Kittle quickly followed him to the locker room with a foot injury, and running back Tevin Coleman returned from IR yesterday just to re-injure his knee and exit the game early. We're showing the list of injuries right now. It is lengthy.
Yeah.
The issue is this week they're on a short week.
And they play
the Packers.
Now, that is a fascinating game, Joy, because again, they're both coming. This feels like a bigger deal for San Francisco. Green Bay is going to win their division. San Francisco can't go from this point forward on two-game losing streaks. Nobody in that division can, including the Seahawks, or you're going to be out of it really quick.
Yes, and Kyle Shanahan said after the game they'd wait to see how bad Jimmy G's ankle is today. George Kittle's x-rays were negative yesterday, and he's getting an MRI today, but there's no word on either's availability for Thursday's game. To your point, the Seahawks are 6-1, the Cardinals are 5-2, the Rams are 5-3, and the 49ers are 4-4. So this is a very big game for the 49ers, who we originally buried a little too early.
Yes.
But now, like I said last week, I just think it's just going to be injuries for them this year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really hard to overcome major injuries like they've had, but the amount of injuries that they've had is just kind of staggering. And it, in this division, that's just too much.
Again, Philadelphia can get away with it in the NFC.
Yes, because the NFC East is a disaster.
Yeah, you cannot fall apart like this in the NFC West.
No, and I don't think that it's anyone's fault. I don't think it's a Super Bowl hangover. I don't necessarily think that Jimmy G is the wrong guy. I just think that's a lot to overcome in one of the best divisions in football. So the Chargers lost another heartbreaker this weekend in Denver.
God. Oh, my God.
They led 24-3 in the third quarter. But the Broncos stormed back, overcoming a 10-point deficit with less than 8 minutes to go. A defensive pass interference call kept the Broncos' hopes alive, and then Drew Lock threw a one-yard touchdown, which we're showing right now, to KJ Hamler as time expired. Do your dance, Drew.
Oh,
and then gave the extra point gave Denver the 31-30 win. The Chargers are the first team in NFL history to blow four leads of 16 points or more in four straight games.
So here's the thing. We know they have the quarterback of the future.
Yes.
And we know the GM is really capable.
Yes.
You're getting to a point with Anthony Lynn. You got to ask real serious questions. By the way, the coach of Atlanta lost these leads. He got whacked. Like, you can lose in the NFL, but when you clearly are the better team for 2 hours and 45 minutes and you lose like 3 and 4 weeks in a row, they have real questions to answer with the Chargers.
I always just find that fascinating. What is the reason for it? Like, how can you not hold on to the lead? Like, is it on the defensive side of the ball? Is it that you are not game planning to then run down the clock? Like, what is it that you're doing where you are consistently blowing leads that big?
Well,
like, that's too much.
You have a rookie quarterback. They're prone to mistakes. So Anthony may lean conservative as a rule. Then he maybe gets uber conservative with a young quarterback on the road. All of a sudden, a couple three and outs or 5-6 play drives. Then you get it to Drew Lock. Your defense is now, let's be honest, with a big lead. To me, the whole game was this. In the first three quarters, the Chargers had a pass rush. They got a lead, added less pressure. So Drew Lock suddenly had a very comfortable pocket. He could step into the ball. They couldn't stop him. So to me, should Anthony Lynn say, listen, this kid under pressure can't throw. We're going to make Drew Lock beat us with bringing an extra man. And I thought the defense of the Chargers wasn't as forceful, and Drew Lock, like most young quarterbacks, with time to throw,
feels comfortable.
The first three quarters, that kid couldn't step into anything, and he was a disaster.
And it's difficult for younger quarterbacks when they can't get into any sort of rhythm because they haven't been in that situation to overcome
that. And in the fourth, he was into a rhythm. He's a funny quarterback. I don't love the dance and stuff. It feels very Baker for me. It's off brand. But I will say this. I think Drew Lock is good enough to win a division and win games, except if you're in a division with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. And now Derek Carr has clearly established himself with Gruden as a top 12 quarterback. And Justin Herbert looks great. So if you're John Elway this morning, the GM of Denver, you're like, I got to look around my division. I think I have the fourth most talented quarterback in my division. I think you got to draft another quarterback.
Well, our patience for quarterbacks is gone.
Thin.
Gone. It used to be you got at least 3 years to figure out what you are, but that's not the case anymore. So I agree with you. I liked the Denver a lot before the season started. There were some injuries, and the situation changed very quickly. We'll see how the rest of the season goes for Denver, but to your point, like, the division is just too tough. You can't get away with it.
All day yesterday, I'm sitting watching it with a buddy, and I'm like, Drew Lock's talented, but you just can't be talented in that division anymore. That's not good enough.
Well, the Chargers traded cornerback Desmond King to the Titans for a sixth-round pick today, reportedly, as well.
So they did.
They are making some moves. We should expect some more moves.
So what did they get?
For a sixth-round pick. Okay. Desmond King for
I think that's a good move. They have three corners. King's the one that's a little erratic, so I get it.
I also forgot to mention when we were talking about the Niners that they're trading linebacker Quan Alexander to the Saints in exchange for a conditional fifth-round pick and linebacker Kiko Alonso. Quan missed the last three games with an ankle injury.
Okay, Quan's an athlete. That's a good pickup by the Saints, who I find weird.
The Saints are, they're a weird team.
Weirdos.
But, kind of the same as last year?
Yeah.
And kind of the year before that? They're good, but they're in the Super Bowl bubble. They have all this talent. They have the quarterback. They have the coach.
Come on.
They have the defense.
Why?
It's just like something.
Michael Thomas is practicing on Thursday, Friday, and is not playing. I told my friend this yesterday. Is it that, remember before the season, they had a very controversial situation with their quarterback and the BLM movement? Is there a little hangover? Something's wrong in that locker. Lattimore's not as good. Michael Thomas isn't playing. Something's not right. And I don't have the answers or I don't have the sourcing, but something's not right there.
I don't know if it's that, but I agree with you. There's something off with the Saints. There just is. Despite the fact they keep finding ways to win. So Joe Burrow continues to impress in his rookie season and led the Bengals to a huge win over the Titans. He threw for 249 yards and two touchdowns in the 31-20 victory. We finally got some protection from his offensive line as well. He was not sacked for the first time this season. Isn't it funny what you can do when you don't get sacked 4 to 5 times?
Well, and the Titans don't have a pass rush. They're like Seattle. We like them, but they have no pass rush. Seattle's getting it with Carlos Dunlap. I think Tennessee at the trading deadline is going to go out and get a pass rusher. Because Tennessee and Seattle are too good to be that bad. That literally Burrow yesterday, with time to throw, Tennessee no pass rush, he picked them apart.
I don't think this is a game that everyone should overreact to as far as a loss to the Titans. Like, I think the Titans are still a really good team, and the record shows that. I agree with you. That did expose a bit of their issue if they
We've
have
seen
one.
It 2 weeks in a row now. They're giving the quarterback too much time to throw.
I think it says more about Cincinnati. Like, when Burrow has some time and he's not getting thrown around the field, he can actually make plays and be competitive.
Oh, no, he's good. He can really play. He can really play.
Well, you know, I didn't love him before the draft. I'm glad, though. I'm happy for Cincinnati. They got their guy, and now the next step is, obviously, as the offensive line showed in this game, in the offseason, that's your number one priority.
Yeah, no, and this goes back, Joy Taylor with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line
In fact,
news.
Goulet, give me the standings. You cannot have the fourth best quarterback. So when I'm watching Burrow, my takeaway is, oh no, Baker's the fourth best quarterback. You can't have that in this league. I mean, you can have it for a year, but I think Cleveland's GM and head coach, and I'm not blaming Baker for the loss yesterday. I'm not. But he's not Ben. He's not Lamar athletically. He's not Burrow. You cannot. That's what I say about Drew Lock. Drew Lock's talented. That's not it. But he's not as accurate a thrower of the football as Derek Carr, especially when Carr's got Gruden coaching him. He's not Justin Herbert as a quarterback, and he's not close to Mahomes. So John Elway's watching that game yesterday, and he's like, well, Herbert's only going to get better because he's going to have, you know, Herbert in 10 more starts and maybe a more dynamic offensive coach. You're seeing him now with a coach that may get fired with a bunch of injuries and no preseason. What's Herbert going to be a year from now? No, I mean, let's go division to division. Who's the fourth best quarterback in each division? You just can't do it. You got to move. You got to move off your guy.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
RecTech's more than a grill. It's a lifestyle. Smart grill technology allows for even heat. RECTEQ.com, built by grillers for grillers. So I don't talk a lot about the Dallas Cowboys anymore because they're terrible, and I think we should talk about teams that are not terrible. So today I've talked about the Steelers and the Ravens, and I think the Raiders are good, and a little bit of Minnesota and Green Bay and San Francisco and Seattle. But I'll spend a couple of minutes talking about Dallas. No, I won't. I'll talk about Philadelphia because they actually are good. Here's how bad Dallas is. The Philadelphia Eagles were missing their best offensive lineman, their best running back, their best tight end, two starting wide receivers. They were terrible on fourth down. Carson Wentz was awful for three quarters, and they still won 23-9. Philadelphia's missing everybody. Catastrophic injuries. Injury ravaged. Four turnovers. 0 for 3 on fourth down. Quarterback plays one of his worst halves of football ever, and they hammered him. By the way, judge people in crisis. Philadelphia is in crisis just like Dallas. One of the teams wins. Last 12 games, Eagles are 7-4-1 with catastrophic injuries. I'm not saying Dallas hasn't had the Dak issue, but they're a mess. They don't look well run, and Carson Wentz can drive you crazy. I thought Philadelphia played about as bad as I've seen them play, and they still won by 2 touchdowns. And that's because they have a playmaker. And I like Wentz. He makes a lot of bad throws and a lot of great ones. And yesterday in the first half, it was mostly bad, and late it was mostly good. Dallas is not even worth a topic. You know a team is bad. This was like Lakers pre-Kobe, pre-LeBron, like that four-year stretch. I didn't talk Lakers a ton. I talked a ton of Warriors and a ton of LeBron and Miami Heat. We didn't talk a lot of Lakers. We really didn't on this show pre-LeBron for about 4 years. You know, we just didn't. They were just bad. The reality is Dallas is terrible. I believe the trading deadline tomorrow is an opportunity for Dallas to move all sorts of people. I would move Michael Gallup or Amari Cooper. I maybe move DeMarcus Lawrence. You can't tell me there's not an NFL team that doesn't want an edge rusher or a really good deep threat receiver. I just think Dallas has to own what they are, and I don't think they want to own what they are. Philadelphia, Carson Wentz is now wearing hats. Here's him after the game.
I'm going to keep giving these guys chances, and you know, I can be better and put the ball in the right spot, but I'm not going to change my aggressive mentality. But we're going to start connecting on some of those big plays, and obviously it hurt us a little bit today, but the defense played great and we got a win.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't do anything right for most of the game, and they still won. And this is why I say, we all know quarterbacks matter in this league. We all know a great quarterback is more valuable than a great coach. New England's a great example. But this has never been the NBA. The NBA is about the stars. It's about get a star, and hopefully he's buddies with another star, and they bring it over. And you can get a coach that's good enough. Ty Lue, Frank Vogel, certainly capable, smart guys, can win a championship. The NFL is so much about structure. Now, why is that? Because players are always hurt. So you're going to be at some point, Seattle this year, Philadelphia, San Francisco. You have to have a formidable structure. This is what Cleveland's had talent a lot. Cleveland's got all sorts of talent. They don't have good structure. And so when things go sideways and when you lose three of your offensive linemen, do you have the structure, the innate ability to overcome less talented players on any given Sunday, Monday, or Thursday? We just don't, like San Francisco this Thursday. I believe San Francisco has a very good structure. I don't currently believe they have a great starting 22. San Francisco's falling apart, but I like their GM. I like their owner. I like their coach. Sometimes I like Jimmy Garoppolo. Here we go. We'll see. Because they don't have the players this third. Green Bay, what's the line on the Green Bay-San Francisco game? Green Bay should be favored in this game. If Green Bay can't beat them now, they're not going to beat them. They've come off two humiliating losses to them. Green Bay has to beat the 49ers Thursday. They just have to. You can't lose that game. That is such a statement game for the Green Bay Packers. So, by the way, I said this before I went to break. When I watched Denver Chargers yesterday, I just couldn't get past this. That John Elway, one of the great quarterbacks of all time, is watching that game upstairs. And he's going, my quarterback's the fourth best quarterback in the division. You can't win that way in the NFL. You can do fine second best. That's fine. Second best can get you to the playoffs. Everybody keeps their job. But I'll just name the team and the fourth best quarterback in a division. All right, New England right now, regardless of who it is, that ain't working. Cleveland Browns, Baker Mayfield. I'm sorry. He doesn't have the size of Big Ben. He doesn't have the athleticism of Lamar Jackson, and he doesn't have the it of Joe Burrow. He doesn't have the size, by the way, of Joe Burrow either, or the escapability. So New England, Cleveland, Jacksonville, Gardner Minshew, and Denver. Now, by the way, Drew Lock's way better than Gardner Minshew, right? But it's still the fourth best quarterback in your division. Then you go to the NFC. Washington, they're looking for a new one. Chicago, I think they want a new one. Teddy Bridgewater, but I think we know it's not long term, but that's about as good as you're going to do for fourth best quarterback. That's about as good as you're going to do. And they're not going to make the playoffs. And right now, Jimmy Garoppolo. So if you got one of those guys, you got to have your scouts looking at quarterbacks. I mean, New England, Cleveland, Jacksonville, Denver, Washington, Chicago, Carolina, San Francisco. You're not going to win long term with that. Hour three next.